الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had begun discussing the issue of zakat al-athman, or zakat al-naqdain, al-dhahab wal-fiddah, to make the zakat, the obligation of making the zakat on the wealth from the gold and from the silver and from the currency that we have today, from the dollars and the riyals and the likes like this. And we have seen the obligation of that and some evidences with regards to that, and also the issue of the jewelry and that which the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to the issue of the zakat on the jewelry, and that the jewelry is different types, and if the jewelry is prepared for business and for trade and is purchased or is in one's possession with the intention to sell it or to rent it or to make a profit from it, then it's an obligation to pay zakat on that, the zakat of business and trade, the zakat of business and trade, or rubu tijara. And if the jewelry was a type of jewelry that's considered impermissible and haram, for example, if the gold or the silver was molded or crafted into a shape that is impermissible, like the shape of an animal or any being that has a life in it, then this type of jewelry likewise will have zakat in it. And also if the jewelry was gold that a man he had purchased or he had it in his possession with the intention to decorate himself with that or to wear it for adornment, also this would be considered jewelry that is haram, and there will be also zakat in that. There would also be zakat in that. And as for the jewelry that a person has for adornment and beautification, for example, a woman, she has gold and silver, she has jewelry from gold and silver, or a man, he has jewelry from silver. He has jewelry from silver, yani in a manner that's allowed and permissible. Then the people of knowledge have differed with regards to this. And this is something that is well known. But we have seen some of the evidences in the previous class that what is correct and Allah knows best, that there is also zakat in that as well. And this is because of the narrations that have come with regards to the threat of the one who did not perform the zakat on that jewelry. The one who did not perform the zakat on that jewelry. So this was a summarization of that which has preceded. So the one who has to pay the zakat on the gold and on the silver or on the jewelry, any of the people of knowledge, and he mentioned how that would be. For example, if the weight of the jewelry and the value of the jewelry was the same, then the amount that they give will be easy to determine. The amount that they give will be easy to determine. But if the weight was heavier than the value, then which one will they select from? Because sometimes maybe the jewelry will be heavy, but because of a defect in the manufacturing or in the craftsmanship or something like that, the value would decrease. The value may decrease because of the manufacturing. The actual weight of the jewelry and the gold or silver might reach the nisab, but then the value of the actual jewelry might be lesser than the nisab in value if you ask for the price, for example. So then here there could be a problem. Which one will you estimate from in paying the zakat? On the other hand, likewise, maybe the value may be greater than the nisab. Maybe a person, he has some jewelry and it has reached the nisab, but because of the beauty and the craftsman and the craftsmanship, and because of the way that it's molded and shaped and formed, now it's increased in value. So here the people of knowledge, they differed with regards to this, and what is best and Allah knows best, or closest to that which is correct, is that one will look to the one that is more beneficial for the poor people. Whichever one is more beneficial for the poor people, whether any choosing to give the zakat based on the weight of the jewelry or based on the value of the jewelry, which one will one choose and select? The one that is more beneficial for the poor people. So here would be the one that has the higher value. the one that has the higher value, and Allah knows best. Likewise, here we have the issue of would one be required to combine the gold and the silver together to reach the nisab? For example, if a person, he had half the nisab of gold and half the nisab of silver, would this can be considered that he reached the nisab and he has to pay zakat on that or not?
Yes.
And he has to pay zakat on that or not? So this is the issue here, yani, that the people of knowledge, they have discussed. And many of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that one, he will pay zakat on that. If he gathered them together, for example, and by looking at the parts, if he gathered, he had half the nisab of gold and half the nisab of fidda, then he would have to, of silver, half the nisab of silver, then this reaches the nisab. He'll gather them together and he'll pay zakat. And for example, if he had 1/3 of the nisab of gold and 1/3 of the nisab of silver, then his wealth does not reach nisab, so he will not pay zakat. Others, they mentioned rather it would not be according to the weight, it would be according to the value. So if he has half the value of the nisab of gold and half the value of the nisab of silver and he gathered them together, then he would have to pay zakat on that. And they look at it from different aspects. Others, the majority, they're like this upon a difference of opinion between these two methodologies. In any case, many of the scholars mentioned that you will gather them together. If you gather them together, either by the weight and the amount, or whether by the value, a difference of opinion, if it reached the nisab, he would have to pay zakat. But Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and also the position of Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and also the fatwa of Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayri, hafidhahullah, and other than them, from the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that there's no zakat in that. That you will not gather the gold and silver together. So long as the gold is in the state of gold and the silver is in the state of silver, each one of these is a specific type of wealth. So long as they're in the state of gold or in the state of silver, then each one is a specific type of wealth. For example, if a person, he had half the nisab of goats and then he had half the nisab of cows, the people of the knowledge, they mentioned you do not gather them together. Or if he had half the nisab of wheat and half the nisab of barley, it's not mentioned here that he will gather these type of crops together. He will gather these type of crops together in order to reach the nisab. So from here, they have the position that you do not gather them together. Again, so long as they're in the form of gold, in the natural form of gold, or in the natural form of silver, whenever it's in this form, gold is considered gold and it's one type of wealth. If that reaches the nisab, you pay zakat on that. And silver is considered silver. Silver is considered silver. If it reaches the nisab, you pay zakat on that. As for if you have gold and silver, then neither one of them reach the nisab of each one individually, you do not gather them together and pay zakat on that. And Allah knows best. But the people of knowledge did clarify that the gold and silver, it will be gathered together with the wealth, with the money. If a person, he has cash money, he has cash money that's under the nisab. For example, we say the nisab is $400. The man, he has $300 he's saving for a year. And the man, he has likewise gold. The value is $100. Together they make $400, which is the nisab. So now this wealth here will be gathered together to reach the nisab. So if he has this in his possession in this manner like this, this nisab here, or above that for 1 year, he'll have to pay zakat now on the value of that. So the gold and silver is combined with the wealth, with the money, with the cash, and also with the value of the items for sale as well, in order to reach the nisab. So there's a difference between the two issues. We understand that. The issue now is that you have the gold and silver or the value of the jewelry, and it's lesser than the nisab. If you have some gold jewelry and some silver jewelry, neither one of them reach the nisab. The gold doesn't reach the nisab of the gold jewelry, and the silver jewelry doesn't reach the nisab of the silver jewelry. You do not gather them together and say that you pay zakat like this. The gold and silver, you do not gather it together in this manner. But if you have this along with money that you're saving, along with money, or along with items along with other items that are for sale, and the value of that together with the gold or together with the silver reaches the nisab, and now this is together in your possession for 1 year for the whole, then now you will pay zakat on the value of that.
That's
what I was going to tell you. Many times, if you just wait, inshallah, it's going to come. Jazakallahu khaira. Jazakallahu khaira. So this is an important issue here. So maybe somebody, for example, he has some items for sale that don't reach the nisab. They don't reach the nisab. It's going to come next, yani, inshallah. We just study the urud al-tijara. But just to say that, just to mention. And then he has, for example, 50. He has items for sale that yani is maybe $200. And then he has also, for example, $100 cash. And then he has $100 worth of jewelry, yani gold, for example. Yani, that's lesser than the value of the nisab. He reached the nisab with this. He'll reach the nisab with this, any together, and then if it goes for the whole, he would have to pay zakat on the value. He'll have to pay the zakat on the value. As for if he had gold here, and as for if he has silver here, again I mention again, he has half the nisab of gold, he has half the nisab of silver, nothing else, not looking at anything else. He will not take the gold and the silver and put it together and say, now I have nisab, and Allah knows best. The same way he would not say, for example, I have half the nisab of goats and half the nisab of camels. And then he will, so after 1 year, he says, I'll pay zakat on my animals. No, he will not have to pay zakat on his animals because the goats are not gathered with the camels. The nisab of the goat is different than the nisab of the camel. If the camel reached the nisab, there's zakat on that. If it does not reach the nisab, there's no zakat on that. The goats, they have a nisab. If they reach the nisab and then they're, you know, they're holding the lines, then there's a zakat on that. If there's no nisab, there's no zakat on that. You don't gather them with other animals. So they mention likewise the gold and the silver, so long as it's in this original form. So long as that it's in this original form, and Allah knows best. And we've seen previously how to pay the zakat on the wealth, or how to determine the nisab on the wealth. And we mentioned the nisab for the gold is how much? 85 grams. And the nisab of the silver is 595 grams. With regards to the money, with regards to the currency now, in the originally, yani whenever the currency first appeared and the likes like this, the currency was backed either by gold or by silver. Like the dollar was backed by gold. And the real, for example, is backed by silver. The real is based upon silver. The paper riyal, and the paper dollar was based upon gold. So at that time, yani, they would base each dollar according, yani, to its currency backing, to what it's backed with. But Shaykh Suleiman al-Ruhaydi, hafidhullah, he mentioned today, as for today, then the currency gets its stability and its value by the economy of the government. If the economy is strong, then the value of that currency is strong. And according to the economy of the country that's backing that currency will determine the value of that currency. So now the people of knowledge, they differ from here. Which one will they be? Many of them, they mentioned that you look at the asl. The asl is gold. But it has preceded that the Lajna al-Da'ima have mentioned the fatwa that you will look at the one which is most beneficial for the poor people. So that means that you determine the nisab for the dollar based upon the lowest of the two. So we look on the day, today, for example, what is the value of 1 gram of gold? And then we multiply that by 85. And this will tell us the nisab of gold. You understand that? And then we look at the value of 1 gram of silver. And then we multiply that by 595. And that will tell us the nisab of silver. Now we will look in our days, which one is lower? The silver is lower by a great amount. We've seen that approximately the gold is like $4,900 approximately. $4,800 in this area. And the silver was almost $400, very close, just a few dollars away from $400. So just as an estimate, we could say approximately $5,000 or $4,500 Yani is for the gold and the silver is $400. So based upon the fatwa of the Lajna Daima, and based upon that which is yani most safe and best in consideration for the poor, and likewise closer to freeing oneself from blame, he will choose the lower of the two. So if he had $400 in saving, $400 that he extra, and that's extra than his needs, yani that saving he's saving, then he'll start the hole. And he'll start the hole. And he's somebody who knows that he has that money. And maybe all of us, every month we have more than $400. But most of us also know that before the month is over, that $400 is gone. Every month he reached the nisab, but before the month is over, then it's below the nisab or gone. And so this person here, and he's not from those who have to pay zakat. He's not from those who have to pay the zakat. But somebody who's getting that amount of money and then he's saving it. And he knows and he's aware of that, he needs to start checking and counting yani this money. If he has 400 or more and he's saving that, he needs to know when it came into his possession. Because after one year of being in his possession, so long as it did not go below, it will be an obligation to pay the zakat on that immediately. And there's a great threat for the one who does not pay the zakat yani at all. Or the one likewise who delays it. If somebody were to delay it out of negligence, so on and so forth, and then he lost the wealth. It was stolen or something happened and he went bankrupt, and he will still be held accountable for that. Or if he died and he didn't pay it and he was negligent in paying it and he just didn't pay it, he delayed paying it for no reason other than stinginess or laziness or negligence in life like this, he could still be held accountable for that. So whenever that period goes by, the hole goes by, it becomes an obligation. So for a person to be aware of that, and the amount that one has to pay the people of not, as they mentioned, Rubu' Ushur. And the way to determine this is to divide the amount by 40. This is how you do the zakat. However much money, if a person, he knows he's a person of zakat, he has to pay zakat. So once he reaches the nisab and his wealth stays above the nisab, maybe throughout the whole, his money's going up and down. Maybe throughout the whole, his money is going up and down. Maybe one time in the year, he's got 50,000. Another time of the year, he's got 25,000. Another time in the year, he's got 500. And things are happening with his money and the likes like this. So what does he do? So long as he's somebody, his wealth never goes below the nisab throughout the whole year. He owns the nisab or more throughout the whole year. Whenever that year finishes, he'll check his money on that day. How much money does he have on that day saved up? And then he would divide that number by 40, and he will pay that amount. This part is clear, huh?
Multiply by
0.025. Wallahu a'lam. The people of Nadas, they mentioned all of these ways, but sometimes problems can come. This is the easy way, and this is the safe way. Yani that you divide the number by 40. That's another way. Likewise, and if you use a calculator and the likes like this, but there's ways people could become, they could misunderstand 2.5%, and he'll give 2.5% of this dollar, or 2.5% of $100, or 2.5%. You have to pay all what you have, and then you divide that by 40, and what you give is 2.5 of that. But this is the way to do it. Make it easy for people. Make it easy for people. You say point this and point that and two point this and two and point zero this, and this one gets complicated a lot of times for some people. But if you just tell them, divide it by 40. How much do you got? 5,000 divided by 40. How much do you got? 100,000 divided by 40. How much? 500,000 divided by 40. Whatever you got, divided by 40. What that equals, the sum of that, this is how much you have to pay. So this is the easy way. Even Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he advised to stick to this way. You divide it by 40. And this is the easy way. You divide it by 40. And if a person, he arrived to the right number, no matter how he got there, alhamdulillah, is good. But the advice of the people of knowledge and that which is easy, yani, is like this. And I don't think it could get much easier than that. To tell somebody, add up your money and divide it by 40. And this is the obligation you have. You have to pay. This is the obligation you have to pay. So we all understand that portion. So long as the money doesn't go below, he'll have to pay that. How does he pay that? He will pay that, yani, in that manner. But also, if a person he reaches the nisab, and he is somebody who keeps the nisab, it's allowed for him to pay the zakat early, so long as the reason for the obligation is present. Somebody can't pay the zakat early if he doesn't have the nisab. If he doesn't have the nisab, he can't pay the zakat early, because the reason for the obligation is not there. When will it be obligatory for him to pay the zakat? Whenever he reaches the nisab. So once he reaches the nisab, sababul wujub yani mawjud. This is the reason for the obligation is there. At this time, it's allowed for him to pay in advance. At this time, it's allowed for him to pay in advance. If the reason for the obligation of the zakat is not there, that's not allowed for him to pay in advance. It's not allowed for him to pay in advance. So we see now that, for example, somebody who saves money every month, he gets a salary. Again, this is we repeat it again, but just so that it's clear for everybody, this is important. He has a salary. Yani, so every month he's saving different amounts of money. Every month he's saving different amounts of money. If every month he saved more than the nisab, then every single paycheck he will have a nisab, he will have a hold on that. Every single paycheck he will have a hold on that. This month he saved 400, next month he saved 500. The 400 began whenever he got his paycheck. The 500 began whenever he got his paycheck. So if it goes around the whole year, this month he has to pay zakat on the 400, the next month he pays zakat on the 500. The next month he didn't save the nisab. The next month he didn't save the nisab. The next month he saved 600 from the paycheck. So now he's got, this month he has to pay on 400, this month he has to pay on 500, 3 months later he has to pay on 600. You understand that? So the origin is that he will wait for the 1 year to go for the 400, and the 1 year to go for the 500, and the 1 year to go for the 600. That's the origin, and then he'll pay zakat on each one of them. But in order to make it easy, this is where this benefit comes in. Since whenever he saved the 400, now he reached the nisab. Now he reached the nisab. So now the obligation of zakat is upon him, and he's waiting for the whole. So all the money he comes and saves along with that, yani that's extra, that has a different reason, like this other paycheck, you can just add it to that obligation and pay it all at once. That means the other months are going to be paid, the 500 are going to be paid 1 month early. The 600 are going to be paid like what, 4 months early. Like this. You understand? That's allowed. Even if a person every single month, he saved $400, for example, which in our example is the nisab. So then in Ramadan, he started in Ramadan saving 400. The next month, Shawwal, 400. The next month, 400. All the way back around to Ramadan again. He can take all every month and add it all up in Ramadan and pay that. And meaning the 400 that he just got in Sha'ban, he just got it. And then Ramadan first, it becomes he pays the zakat on it. And he only had it for a month or maybe a little bit less. You understand? But this is because the obligation of zakat has already been upon him. So now it's allowed for him to gather the rest of this wealth together and pay it all at once. And the wisdom for it not being an obligation is because, for example, that 400 in Sha'ban, maybe by the next Sha'ban, he already spent it. Something happened and he didn't say it. He was in his, he's initially saving it, but then next thing you know, his child needs to go to the dentist or whatever the case, so he has to break into the money he saved in Sha'ban, and then he spends 200 from it. So now it's below the nisab. So there would not be any zakat on that. There would not be any zakat on that. But if he wants to, ihtiyatan, just in case, or tasheeran, taysiran lahu, make it easy, facilitate it, he put it all together and pay the zakat at one time. That's the best way. So that's the example. So that's one example. Another example, similarly like this. That's with the salary. This is the way of a lot of people. They have salaries. For example, even a person, he had made some money. He sold his car. He got $5,000. So now he reached the nisab. So now he's waiting for 1 year. He's saving that money. He's waiting for 1 year. If 1 year goes around, he has to pay zakat on that. 6 months later, he got inheritance, $5,000 more. So these have two different holds. These have two different holds. Then you have the hold of the car. He say he sold the car in Muharram. So the hold for the car, $5,000 is, for the $5,000 from the car is in Muharram. We'll say, for example, after that, like in Rabi al-Awwal, he got inheritance, $5,000 more. So now the hold is different. The hold is different, the obligation. But if he's saving that, it's allowed for him to put it all together at one time and to pay the zakat at the first hold, at the closest hold coming in order for it to be easy for him. So whenever the money is coming to somebody from different reasons, then each reason has a different, has its own hole. So for example, the paycheck, the salary, that's, he got paid for this month. So next month is for next month. So that money is different. So that's why it's not obligatory to gather them together. You understand that? That money that he got paid, $5,000, for example, last month, that was for his work last month. And then if he gets paid $5,000 again this month, a salary, then that's for this month. So that money is different. That money is different. So each one will be considered its own hole, its own type of money, and each one would have its own hole. As for if he took the $5,000, he sold his car, and he took that $5,000, and now the hole started for him, and then 3 months later, he bought some gold jewelry, and then sold it and doubled his money. The money that he doubled, he took that $5,000, he bought $5,000 worth of gold jewelry, and then he sold it and made $10,000. That extra $5,000 profit, it follows the hold of the first $5,000 obligatory. This one has to follow that one. You can't wait for the hold to go on that one. Maybe you spend it up less. This one is following that one because it is a profit and proceeding from that one. So these are some of the really important affairs that's directly related to us. The example of that likewise was with the animals. In the same case, was with the animals. So if you had 40 sheep, for example, and then the sheep, they had babies halfway throughout, or even the sheep had babies 2 days, like for example, this hold is in Ramadan. And then some of the sheep, they had babies 3-4 days before Ramadan. His hold is Ramadan first. Becomes obligatory for him to pay zakat. On 2-3 days, or 1 day before Ramadan first, some of them, they gave birth. Those that gave birth, they are included automatically and obligatory in that hole to pay the zakat on them. Their heads will be counted because they're coming from that same wealth that the hole already went around. So we see the difference between the wealth that has the same root coming from the same source and the wealth that has different reasons. So the hole is different. So therefore the obligations are different. And that's from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and also from the justice and the ease and the kindness on the slaves. And there's no oppression in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's no oppression in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ عَبْدًا أَحَدًا. Allahu Akbar. So after this, we discuss the issue of عروض التجارة. عروض التجارة يعني, what is intended here are the items that are for sale. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the عروض is the plural. Is the plural of عرض. عرض with the sukun on the ra, because there's different ways to pronounce this word. So we have عرض and عروض. عرض and عروض. So they say everything besides cash money and gold and silver is considered عرض. All the wealth. كل مال سوى الذهب والفضة أو سوى النقدين عرض. عرض. So whatever has value and whatever you have, يعني from the items, this is considered عرض. يعني an item that has value. كل شيء عرض سوى الدراهم والدنانير. This is what has come, يعني in the dictionaries and the likes like this. So we see from here that this is the case. Everything besides money and besides gold and silver is considered عرض. So for example, the phone is عرض. Books are عرض. The book is عرض. A car is considered عرض. So whenever these things are placed for sale, now they have zakat. So for a pen or a pencil is عرض. It's something that has value. Clothing and garments is عرض. It's considered عرض. So this is from the most extensive aspect of zakat. So again, anything that is has value from the items, any for a car, a rug, a carpet, curtains, clothing, hats, pencils, pens, printer, computer, any, name it. All of these things are included here. Each one of these is considered عرض. It's considered عرض. So this is very important. This is very important. يعني, so العرض again, كل مال غير النقد. غير النقد. So this is the case with the عرض. As for the عرض, with the fatha on the ra, we have the عرض. That's what we just discussed. Now if you pronounce it with the fatha, On the ra you say arad, arad, arad. Now this is yani kullu muta'a dunya, muta'a dunya, all of it, all of the wealth is considered yani arad, arad, and it has this meaning here, like everything is included here, money, cars, every, all the delights and the enjoyment and the items that are beneficial in this life, this is called arad, yani min muta'a dunya. And they call it arad because yanahu ya'ridu wa yazul, because it comes and it goes. And so from this aspect, but what we're talking about is arad, 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 with a sukun on the ra. And these are items that have value. Items that have value. So with regards to this issue now, again, whenever we say mal, whenever we say mal, which means, al-mal means, whenever we say mal, like for normally, somebody, the first thing is going to think about money. He's going to think about money. If you say mal, hal indaka mal, do you have any mal? You think about money. So the generally, any in the common usage amongst the people, whenever they talk about mal or they use this word mal in the Arabic language, they're going to translate it or interpret it or understand it to mean money. To mean, for example, here we say mal, we're talking about dollars. We're talking about that's normally. But with regards to the terminology of the scholars, it's more extensive. So mal, with regards to the terminology of the scholars, and then actually the language likewise carries this understanding, is that it's anything that's valuable, so it's considered wealth. So the proper translation, yani in general, would be considered, or the encompassing translation would be wealth. Wealth. The mal is wealth. So cars is mal. Again, the sayara, the car is mal, the pen is mal, the book is mal, your clothing is considered mal, glasses mal, carpet mal, house and homes mal, all of this is considered mal, all of this is considered wealth, all of this is considered wealth. So these items here, there's no zakat in them. These items here that are not from the amwal al-zakawiyyah, they're not from al-amwal al-zakawiyyah, they're not from those five types of wealth that we mentioned before, none of them have zakat in them. The cars have no zakat in them. The clothing has no zakat in them. The pens, yani the papers, the books, the computers, the homes, and the likes like this, the rugs, and so on and so forth. None of these items here have zakat in them. That's the origin. A person, maybe he has two, three cars. He has one car he uses and two more, they're sitting in his driveway. They're sitting in his driveway. Sometimes he uses them, sometimes he doesn't. Maybe he didn't drive one in some time. There's no zakat on none of these affairs. They're his cars. They're items that he owns. There's no zakat on the car. He has clothing that's very expensive, very valuable. That is more expensive than the nisab. There's no zakat on them. There's no zakat on them. He has carpets in his house or rugs and the likes like this, or computers or whatever the case may be. Very valuable items. Much more than the nisab. There's no zakat on them. There's no zakat on them. We understand that? That's the origin. So any wealth that's not from this, the wealth that has zakat in it, that has preceded, that's called al-amwal, al-zakawiyyah, there's no zakat on that. Except if a person intends to sell it to make profit. Except if a person intends to sell it to make profit. So at this time, and if a person, he intended to sell it to make profit, all of these affairs will, yani, be considered now, urud tijara. Urud tijara. Be considered now urud tijara, items that are prepared for sale, and therefore they will have zakat in them. They will have zakat in them. So urud tijara here is kullu ma uidda li tijara wa ribah. Kullu ma uidda li tijarati wa ribah. Everything that a person he has prepared and he's ready to sell it for profit. He's ready to sell it, make profit with it. He's ready to make commerce with it. He's ready to do business with it. Whether he makes a profit with it or not. Whether he makes a profit with it or not. Maybe he'll have some items and he wants to sell them and he hopes to make profit with them, but he'll take a loss in that. Or he'll break even in that. These items here, whether he makes a profit in it or not, there's zakat in them. If he has them in his possession for 1 year, then he has to add them up, the value of that on that day, and pay zakat on them. Pays zakat on them. We understand that? So whatever the item is, whenever it's prepared to be sold, and the person, he has this intention to make profit or do business with it, then these items here, they are included in this chapter or this issue that we're discussing now. It's called urud at-tijara. It's called urud at-tijara. So everything a person he has his hand on, And what he's doing with that, he's doing business with it. He's doing business with it. He's making profit. These affairs that he's doing with his money, making his commerce and business. All of these items here that are in this manner, he has this intention, there's zakat in them. There is zakat in them now. So again, the origin with the car, there's no zakat in that. But if a person, he buys cars to sell them, or if he has a car and now he wants to sell it, there's going to be zakat in that. There's going to be zakat in that. A person, he buys that property, and he's going to build on that property. He's going to build on that property, and a home, for example, or he's going to build a number of houses, for example, or he's going to build a business, for example, or he's going to build a market, for example. There's no zakat on that. There's no zakat on that. The person who bought the property because he wants to sell the property, now there's zakat on that. The person who bought the property and initially he wanted to build on it, but then he decided, you know what, I'm going to sell it. I need the money. Now, there's zakat on that. You understand that? Initially, there's no zakat on that. There's no zakat on that. So the person, for example, we'll say he bought all this land, and then he built all these houses, and now he's renting the houses. There's no zakat on the houses. There's no zakat on the land, and no zakat on the houses. But there's zakat on the money, the rent that he makes from the houses. So this is what we're talking about now. Urud, yani atijara. So the difference between the two is whenever there's the intention there to sell it or to do business with it. So the four madhahib, they have agreed upon this affair. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in his book, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبَتُمْ. And this is from the evidences of the obligation of this type of zakat. All you who believe, spend from the good of that which you have earned. The طَيِّبَاتِ, يعني some of the people have not mentioned, مِنْ حَلَال, from the wholesome and the good things of that which you have earned, of that which you have earned. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned, مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقَهُمْ Allahu Azza wa Jal min al-amwali allati iktasabuha. And Mujahid, he said, rahimahullah, yani at-tijara. Yani at-tijara. Bitaysirihi iyaha lahum. So here, yani this verse here, O you who believe, spend of the good and wholesome and lawful things which you have earned. Meaning, Ibn Abbas, he said, meaning from the good and lawful things that Allah has provided them, from the wealth that they have earned. And Mujahid, he mentioned specifically what is intended here is business and trade, commerce. Any commerce, because Allah has facilitated that for them and made it easy for them. And it is known that if a person was going to think about the best wealth that one earns, what is the best wealth that people are earning today? The best type of wealth that is coming to them. And the one that's from business. From business, a person who'll take 10 and make 20. A person who'll make 100 and make 200. Or even maybe time he'll make 100 and make 300. And in business, he'll buy and he'll trade and he'll do deals and he'll come up. And this is allowed. So this is a very good way to make money. This is from the best ways. من أطيب الكسب. And this is the point here. أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم. من أطيب الكسب التجارة. This is what the people of knowledge, they say. From the best of the wealth that a person he earns and he gains is the wealth that is gained from business and trade. From business and trade. And so long as it's allowed. So long as that it's allowed. And halal. So here, this is the case here. So this is from the evidence of that. Likewise, Allah, he says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Take from their wealth صَدَقَةً. And the tijara is a type of wealth. So all of this is included in the general and in the general text. And likewise, the hadith of Mu'adh that we will study, inshallah, the author, he began the chapter of zakat with. He began the chapter of zakat with. Likewise, there's qiyas here. You need to make an analogy on the gold and the silver or the dollars. And the people of knowledge, they say, if you ask the businessman, for example, somebody who sells cars, what do you have all those cars for? What do you want to do with those cars? What is he going to say? He wants to get money. He doesn't want the car. He didn't buy the cars because he wants to have all these cars. He wants to get rid of the cars in place of money, in place of money. So the old reason, somebody who has a store, for example, he buys all these groceries and buys all these produce and all this different meat and all these different items and likes like this bread and so on and so forth. What? You think he wants all this bread? What's he going to do with all that bread? He doesn't want the bread. He doesn't want the bread. He doesn't want the potatoes. He doesn't want the beans. He wants the money. He wants the money. So therefore, any of this is something that is clear. So there's evidences here that any of this issue is contained there and understood from. And likewise, by resembling this, any of the business, any to the gold and silver. And also there's another aspect of how they're similar. The rule of tijara is similar to the gold and the silver and the rest of the amwal zakawiyah likewise, which was the animals, right? And that which comes from the earth, from the crops, and the gold and the silver and the likes. So the urud tijara, that which is prepared for trade and business, is similar to these issues here in another aspect, that this type of wealth, it grows and flourishes. So a person, he gets a few sheep, pretty soon he's going to have a few more. A person who has a garden and he plants crops, pretty soon it's going to produce. It's going to make produce. It's going to grow. It's going to flourish. So these types of wealth that have zakat in them, they flourish. And likewise, urud tijara, it also flourishes, it grows and increases. So all of these are aspects of the clarification with the obligation of this type of zakat. So again, initially these items, if a person he has them, it's allowed for him to have them, clothing and cars and the likes, so on and so forth. These are ruled. It's allowed for him to have them. He possesses them as he likes, and there's no zakat in that, even if it was valuable and he reached an nisab. But whenever he intends to sell it, to make money by way of that, and to do commerce and business with it, now it's entered into this chapter of a zakat. So therefore, the determining factor between these affairs is the intention, is the niyyah, is the intention. So a person who bought some land with the intention to sell it, again, he has to pay zakat on that. If the hawl goes on that, he has to pay zakat on that. If a person, he bought some land with the intention to build on it, there's no zakat on that, even if the hawl went on that. You understand? He bought it with the intention to sell it. Now, if he has it for 1 year, there's a hawl. There's a zakat. He bought it with the intention to use it for his personal use, to build a house for himself, to build houses for his children, to build on it, to make any businesses, or to make homes for sale or rent and the likes like this. Then there's no zakat on that. There's no zakat on that. If he had bought it initially for building on it, and then he changed his mind, and now he wants to sell it, at that time, and he will have to. He will have zakat on that. Yani, so the intention here is what's going to determine the affair. For example, a person if he had a car, and then he bought a new car, and his old car is sitting in his driveway, and he did not intend to sell it. It's just sitting in his driveway, and yani, he has in his mind, yani, if somebody came and offered the right price, he would sell it. And if somebody came and offered him like a very good price on that car, he would let it go quickly. But he's not intending to sell it. So here there's no zakat on that, because he's not intending to sell it. He's not looking to make profit on this. But no doubt, if somebody came and offered the right price, and he would let it go, and he would sell it. This one here is not considered having zakat. We understand? If a person he got the new car, the old car, he doesn't know for sure. He's like, you know, I might sell it. I could probably get some good money for it. It's in good condition, but also, you know, my child is about to turn 16. Maybe I can give it to him for a gift, for example, or he's not sure. He's thinking about selling it, and he's thinking about keeping it or giving it away, whatever. He's not sure about selling it. Here there's no zakat. So the one who didn't intend to sell it, and the one who's not sure whether he's going to sell it or not, there's no zakat on that. Who is the one that has the zakat on it? The one who has intended to sell it. Has intended to sell it. You understand? And also, the hole has gone on that. So this is important. Also, the item has to reach the nisab also. The items have to reach the nisab. And it'll be gathered along with the wealth that a person has. If he has items and he has wealth, as we've seen before, they'll be gathered together to reach the nisab. They'll be gathered together to reach the nisab. And Allah knows best. The people of knowledge, they say, what is considered in the nisab? What is considered in the nisab? A person who has a business, for example. What is considered? He has items for sale. What is considered in the nisab? That which is for sale is considered in the nisab. That which is for sale. And the materials to make that which is for sale. The materials that are used to make that which is for sale. Huh? Not the instruments. Not the instruments, but the materials. For example, somebody who has a chocolate store. Somebody who has a chocolate store. So the candies that are prepared, they're made into candies. These candies, there's zakat on that. He's selling them in his store. The chocolate and the different ingredients that he makes the candies with, likewise, he will add this, all this money here is added up to understand the nisab, and also to understand how much he's going to pay in the end of the year as well, how much he's going to give. And so these are considered the items that he has. What does he have for sale? What is considered from his business? The things that are actually for sale, and the ingredients to make or to produce the things that are for sale, and the things that he bought that are not in his hand but on the way to him. For example, we'll say, for example, Sheikh Suleiman Hafidhullah, he mentioned the example of the person who sells sweets. So the man, he has a store, and he has sweets that are prepared inside of his store. Some of them are presented on the shelf and ready for sale, and others they're ready and prepared, but they're in storage. All of this is considered. The candies are wrapped up and ready to go in front of the people in the store, and others are wrapped up and ready to go, and they're in the storage. All of this is considered from the urud al-tijara. Likewise, in the back, he has different ingredients that the candy's made from. Different ingredients that the candy's made from. All of these affairs here also is included in the nisab, and also included in the wealth that he will add up in the end. He called somebody to purchase some ingredients, and he paid for them, and they're on their way to him. These items likewise are considered as well. All of this is considered from the nisab. As for example, the refrigerators that the candies are stored in, there's no zakat on that, and you don't count these in the nisab. As for like the tools for mixing the candies, the instruments and the like, there's no zakat on that. The building that he's renting from or that he owns for his business, there's no zakat on that. The name of his building and his business became very famous. It has a name that's well known. It's known for authenticity. It's known for trustworthiness. It's known for quality and the likes like this. So the name itself now of the business has a value. That value has no zakat on it. You understand that? That value has no zakat on it. But what he's going to add up are the things that he's selling, these candies that are prepared for selling, the ingredients and the things that are used to make those candies, and whether those candies he has them presenting to the people, or whether they're in storage, or whether they're on the way to him and he already paid for them. All of these things would be added up. In his business, when it's time for him to pay zakat, he'll add up all this type of stuff here, and he'll pay zakat on that, along with the money that he has. And he'll pay zakat on that. As for the refrigerator, he don't add that up. As for the chopping blocks, and as for the mixing the machines, and all of these things, he doesn't add that up. This doesn't count. There's no zakat on that. We understand. And Allah knows best. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.